In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ.
Glory to God.
I want to share an exciting story from the seventh chapter of the book of Judges about Gideon and Midian. In our story, Gideon is the good guy. Gideon and good begin with the letter G. Gideon was a leader in Israel at the time of the Judges. Midian was an enormous tribe that had been harassing Israel for some 7 years, stealing produce, stealing animals, wreaking havoc here and over there. And finally, Gideon, as Israel's leader and judge, had had enough. He'd had enough. So Gideon assembles an army of 32,000 soldiers and goes out against the tribe of Midian to put a stop to this harassment. But camped the day before the battle, they look down and see the Midian army, and every soldier in Israel realizes they are vastly outnumbered. The tribe of Midian had amassed 135,000 soldiers, more than four times Israel's army. So Gideon turns to God for help. The Lord responds, "You have too many soldiers." Gideon says, effectively, "Come again." God says, "If I help you now, you humans will take all the credit." So God says, "Tell every soldier who is scared to go home." Now, Gideon is not too sure about this strategy, but in his faith, he obeys God and announces, "Everyone who is scared of Midian can go home, no strings attached." 22,000 of his soldiers get up and leave. 22,000. So Gideon's army has dropped from 32,000 down to 10,000 with this strategy. Midian, of course, is still at 135,000. So God looks at these 10,000 remaining and says, Still too many. "Take the army down to the lake and have them drink water. Any soldier that kneels down at the shore to drink, send that one home. If they stand and scoop the water into their hands, they can stay. Keep those here." So Gideon takes them down to the lake, these 10,000 soldiers. 9,700 kneel down at the lake. 9,700 out of 10,000 kneel down, so Gideon sends them home, leaving him with only 300 men to fight 135,000. And God says, "Now we're talking. Watch and you will see the glory of the Lord. Now you will see my power." So after dark, Gideon gives each of these remaining 300 soldiers a trumpet in one hand and a blazing torch in the other, shielded by a clay pot. And in the middle of the night, these 300 soldiers with a trumpet in one hand and this blazing torch shielded by a clay pot, in the middle of the night, they go and surround the Midian army. And on the signal, the 300 men take the trumpet and they break the clay pot and reveal the blazing torches, which suddenly light up the night, and they blow their 300 trumpets with all their might. And the Midianites were shocked and startled and terrified, and in the chaos that ensues, 120,000 Midianite soldiers kill each other, not knowing friend from foe, and the remaining 15,000 head for the hills. Not a sword was drawn by the people of God. It was a battle won by light being suddenly revealed. Now, in our epistle today, we learn that each of us is like those blazing torches carried by Gideon's 300 soldiers. We heard the God who causes the light to shine in the darkness, that same God shines in you, shines in your heart. God himself shines in each one of you. In other words, you are a blazing torch of God's light. But just like Gideon's torches were covered by clay pots, we hold the light of God, our epistle said. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel, a clay pot. We have the light of God in us in a clay pot. In other words, sometimes, maybe most of the time, our broken humanity hides the light of God in us like a clay pot covering the blazing torch. In other words, our sins and our weaknesses make the light of God that's in us hard to see. Now, last time this reading came up, we talked about finding the light in yourself through faith and through repentance. So this time I'd like to take a different track and see the other half of this lesson, which is seeing the light of God in your neighbor in spite of their sins and their weaknesses. Now, in the Gideon and Midian story, Midian did not see the light of the blazing torches hidden in the clay pots until it was too late. And one of the symbolic lessons, one of the typology here, is that failing to see the light in your neighbor leads to your own peril. Failing to see the light in your neighbor leads to your spiritual death. And the question then is, how can we see the light in our neighbor through their broken humanity when their light is hidden in an earthen vessel? Now, all of us probably have a neighbor or a relative or a coworker or someone we encounter regularly, someone in our life, maybe we have more than one, in whom the light seems really hidden, really hidden. Inevitably, because we are broken people, there's always going to be someone in our life in whom the light is hard to see. The earthen vessel in that person seems extra hard, extra thick. How do we see the light in that person? I mean, that's really the question. How do we see the light in the difficult people? Well, the answer to that is given in today's gospel reading. There is one force that will allow you to see the light in your neighbor, even when that treasure is hidden in a thick earthen vessel in them. And that force is to love them with the love with which God loves you. To love them with the love with which God loves you. Now, I think we can all admit it's a lot easier to see the light in somebody that loves you, right? In someone that loves me. They must have a light if they love me, right? You know, that's the way our broken minds work. And Jesus says, not quite. If you only love those who love you, what credit is that to you? Even the worst of sinners love those who love them. And if you only do good to those who do good to you, what credit is that to you? The worst of sinners will do good to those who do good to them. Jesus says, that's not how your Father in heaven operates. God is good to everyone. God is good even to the ungrateful and to the selfish. Even though we are in sin, God never fails to see the light that is in us. What's true with you, therefore, is true with your neighbor. God sees past the earthen vessel to the light inside everyone. And the question for you, the question for us is simple. Do you want to be like sinners, or do you desire to be like God? If your goal is to be like every other sinner, then never look past your neighbor's earthen vessel. Never see past their brokenness if your goal is to be like a sinner, because that's what sinners do. But if your desire is to be a son or daughter of the Most High God, you'll strive to see past the clay outside to the light within, no matter how thick that clay is, because that's what God does. And that's what sons and daughters of God do. This is the path of a son and daughter of God, because that's the way of God himself. This does not mean their sin doesn't matter, of course. What it means is that sin is forgiven. It means that we don't let our neighbor's sin stop us from seeing the light inside them. And in fact, seeing the light inside them actually helps me to forgive that person. Midian couldn't see the light in the blazing torches of their adversaries because of the clay pots, and it led to their own destruction. Likewise, failing to see the light in your adversary inevitably leads to your spiritual death. In the end, there is only one force that will allow you to see the light in your neighbor, even when that treasure is hidden deeply in an earthen vessel. And that force is love. That force is to love them with the love with which God loves you. Amen.